Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're going to be talking today about Meyer information and current events, particularly the shootdown of the Russian jet, the Su-24. Russian jets were flying on the border of Turkey and Syria, and one of these Russian jets was an Su-24 fighter bomber. The Syrians, with two U.S.-made F-16s, shot down the Russian Su-24 with air-to-air missiles. The Sukhoi Su-24 is a supersonic all-weather bomber developed in the Soviet Union. The aircraft features a variable swept wing, twin engines, side-by-side seating arrangements for its crew. After the plane was struck, the two pilots in the Su-24 bailed out of their damaged aircraft. While the air crew was floating to the earth in their parachutes, they were shot at by Turkish military men. Both members of the Russian air crew were killed. We don't know exactly what caused the death of the pilots. We don't know if they were shot by these men as they were descending in their parachutes or for some other reason. But both of the pilots were killed. A Russian rescue helicopter then landed in Syria in the hopes of being able to rescue the air crew of the downed Su-24. The rescue helicopter was then destroyed by an American-made TOW missile while it was sitting on the ground. And it sounds as if one of the Russian soldiers associated with the helicopter was killed when the Turkish men fired the TOW missile at the aircraft. Paul Joseph Watson from the InfoWars claims that Turkey has been supporting ISIS for years. He claims that Turkey is a state sponsor of terrorism, and this is why they shot down the Russian plane. It was because essentially they were protecting ISIS. And I have an interesting clip that I am going to play here in a second, but I do have a caller with their hand up. 314, you're on the air.
You know, this is a good show that you're going to have. And also you want to make mention, you remember when Obama was running for presidency and how he had made promises to the Armenian community in order to bring up the issue of genocide against Turkey for things that went back during the Ottoman period?
You know, I think I do remember that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and remember, and he reneged on that with Armenians once he became elected, and he struck up this deal with Turkey. And what we're seeing now is a lot of things that Turkey is doing that they probably wouldn't have done if the United States Obama hadn't gave way with them not being charged with genocide. And one other thing, I understand that Putin had expressed their operations there on the Syrian and Turkey border to Obama, and supposedly he had talked to the president of Turkey, and thus we have what we have. And one other thing, is understand that much of these oil convoys, a lot of profits was going to the son of the Turkey president. So there's a lot of irons in the fire that needs to be investigated. You know, these type of incidents could bring on, you know, a nuclear war.
That's so true. So do you think that Turkey has connections to ISIS?
Oh, yes, they do. And the United States have the connections to ISIS also.
Oh,
and
yeah.
See, here's the thing. Well, you like those TOW missiles. McCain has been hollering forever about providing quote unquote moderates in this affair with lethal weapons and the weapons to do with what they're supposed to do. And also they've been talking about giving non-lethal weapons like Toyota trucks and things. So
I want to talk about those Toyota trucks because that's something I noticed months and months ago. How is it that these guys have 300 identical white Toyota trucks? Somebody bought those en masse. You know, something's not right about this picture, and I don't think these terrorists had the money to buy 300 Toyota trucks. That's a trip. Go ahead and comment.
And before your program is over, I want you to make a comment, an observation. Why does American citizens allow this to go on? For you to be having this show, you have to have some historical perspective, especially in your lifetime, you know, probably going back to the Vietnam War, maybe the Korean War. But why do American citizens are so naive, are so ignorant to let their country be carried off in this direction with so many other things? I mean, we can just take any out of a hat. For instance, student loans. Why do American citizens let these things go on?
Well, these are very, very good questions that, I can speculate on. Let me bring on a 949, which I think is Nate, and I also have Solaris. I think that's Solaris joining the conversation as well. Nate, did you want to try to answer some of these questions?
Why is the American people letting this happen?
Right.
I guess there's a matter of uncaringness, unconcernedness. When something bad does happen to them, oftentimes you'll hear the words, "Why does this have to happen to me?" Which means it's okay if it happens to somebody else, but you know. And this is this really goes back to the idea of the golden rule, which is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, which is pretty true, but it teaches empathy and understanding, you know. But people don't think in that in those terms. Or they think in those terms when it's very convenient for them to.
Well, with me, I feel slightly disempowered, even though, I do a radio show and I like to talk about these things. Sometimes I wonder how much real impact can we have? Maybe I need to figure out how to organize or whatever. But, there's just so much corruption right now that it's almost overwhelming. Do you agree, Nate, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think I have moments of doubt, but I have a real good understanding that, when I speak to people, even, beyond their ego, I'm trying to speak to their spirit, which is, mutually, positively aligned. So it's already, saying the right thing and doing the right thing, you're just trying to break through that, I don't know how to put it, but you're already communicating. You're already one step ahead communicating to them on a level that they might not even recognize. So, unless they're extremely broken, and I mean broken like a tree with no roots left, then you're going to get through on some level to them. It does take time, and you just think about it. It took us a lot of time to get here, to this point, and it's going to take some time to fix it.
With me in this whole situation with the shoot down the SU-24. It's so obviously wrong. Here's a plane that is really flying on the border. It's not necessarily in the Turkey airspace. If it was, it was only for a few seconds. It wasn't presenting any threat to Turkey whatsoever. They shot this plane down. Then while the men are coming down in their parachutes, other Turkish military guys are firing at them with AK-47s. We know the pilots are dead now. We're not sure if they were killed by fire or if they were killed when they bailed out or what happened. And then when the Russians bring over the helicopter to rescue these guys, they blow it up with a TOW missile. Now, three strikes and you're out. I mean, come on. This is so blatantly wrong. Yeah, I agree with 314 who called in. What's wrong with the American people? This is real obvious, I would think. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, this is Turkey, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you kind of alluded to, we can go into like the banking industry and, you know, who's profiting from the war. Well, it's the people who make the weapons and or in the defense industry. Well, there's many, many American companies that are already profiting for both sides of the war, you know. And this is what they do. And oftentimes, I think if they just wanted the war to be over almost instantly overnight, it could be over. But they don't want that. And when I mean they, I'm talking about corporations, the bottom line. They don't see it as their problem. They have a lack of, empathy and a lack of wisdom. And they're just, you know, after me, the flood mentality and live for the moment. And
Solaris,
what do I care about these people over there?
You got any comments, Solaris?
Well, I just want to say hi to everyone. And, I think that the problem with the American people is that they're complacent, they're brainwashed, they're lazy. They don't seem to care. I think Nate had a point there. They just don't seem to give a darn. But I will say that they are very much complacent and brainwashed, in my opinion. I think they're just lulled, and they're not being told truth, and they don't seem to want to learn the truth. So, it's challenging. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I have a clip here of the shoot down, and I'm going to try to go ahead and play that. So bear with me while I change some settings here. Take just a second. Not quite as disorganized as yesterday, almost. Here we go. That should start up. Sometimes these, it's still spinning away there. The Windows Media Player sometimes on my machine takes about a half an hour when it first fires up there. Very, very painfully slow. I've got a lot of interesting clips. I'm going to talk about the RFID chips that are coming, why the U.S. created ISIS. I want to talk a little bit about the ISIS-Toyota connection. Here we go. Hang on.
On the Syrian side, these are the images. We've got amateur images. And we've got some breaking developments from Ivan Watson from the Turkish side. Ivan.
Yeah, Max, the Turkish military has now put out a statement saying that this happened at 9:20 in the morning in Turkey, that there were repeated warnings to this Russian warplane, and then that two Turkish F-16s on patrol responded to the plane within the rules of engagement. They're saying again that there were 10 warnings to the other aircraft in a period of 5 minutes, and then the plane was presumably shot down by these two Turkish F-16s.
So they're confirming, is that confirmation that the Turks have shot down a Russian plane?
You have the Turkish military saying that their F-16s warned another plane multiple times and then shot it down.
And in Turkish airspace?
They're insisting that it was violating Turkish airspace. And, of course, we're hearing a counter-argument from the Russians saying that that airspace was not violated. But this is dramatic. Turkey and Russia are economic partners. Russia is perhaps Turkey's closest trading partner. It was just perhaps a month or so ago that the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, met in Moscow with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Turkey is a major destination for Russian tourists, but they are on opposing sides of the conflict in Syria, and now this has exploded into the use of force, and it's going to have serious consequences, I believe.
Ivan, thank you. We're following that story.
Anyway, I wonder to speak to the Russians in Russian.
Just can I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Now, here's the point. If the Russian plane was in Syria airspace for a mere few seconds, how did they scramble jets to that point that fast? And
well, that's
if the Turkey
point.
Air Force, if the Turkey Air Force is that good, we should have had them here in the U.S. in order to intercept those airliners that crashed into the World Trade Towers.
Well, I think what this is, and what you say is very insightful. I think this is a premeditated event. They had to plan this, and that shows a lot of chutzpah. They planned this. They knew the Russians were going to come through there. They had those F-16s waiting, and that's your point, basically, right?
That's my point. Absolutely. Yeah.
They planned this ahead of time. Absolutely. Nate, comments?
I could read a little bit about the whole Henoch prophecies with regards to Turkey.
Go ahead. That'd be great.
Yet Russia will not rest with the attacks in Scandinavia, and in doing so will embroil all of Europe. And many minutes before that, a terrible tornado will have swept across northern Europe, causing great devastation and destruction. It must be stated that the Russian attack will occur during the summer, in fact, starting from Arkhangelsk. Denmark will not be dragged into the war due to the insignificance of the country. Yet Russia will not be satisfied with this action of war, as her will for expansion will be ravenous, and consequently Russia will launch a military attack against Iran and Turkey and will conquer these two countries in bloody fighting and causing enormous destruction. In the Russian expansionist mentality will also be included the drive to gain control of the Middle East oil deposits, as well as gain control of southern eastern region of Europe. Therefore, she will also invade the Balkans and conquer these countries there in enormous battles, causing ruthless and devastating destruction with many deaths. So it says the Henoch prophecies talk about Russia fighting with Turkey and ultimately conquering them there. This may be the beginning of the seeds because they are trade partners, but I would say this. I don't think the actions of a few people represent all the people of Turkey when it comes to Russia. Like we said, they're trade partners. One of the things that Putin had stated is, he's ready to work with the United States in weeding out ISIS. But, of course, destructions of their aircraft and deaths of their servicemen are unacceptable. But there could be provocateurs inside of Turkey and inside the military or different groups of dissension and whatnot.
So in the Henoch prophecies there that you're reading, it's stating that Russia will attack and conquer Turkey? It's a prophecy.
Yeah, it's a prophecy. So we know Russia has moved troops several troops to Arkhangelsk on July 1st, 2011. And so that's part of the prophecies. And so if there is an attack, it will happen during the summer, and it must be stated something to look for would be that great tornado that causes massive devastation and destruction across northern Europe.
That's one of the things that always gets me is because we've destroyed our forests, that we're seeing these greater and greater natural disasters. I think about, people have forgotten about this, but Typhoon Haiyan in November 4th of 2013, that killed 1,700 people, I believe, injured 2,500, displaced 660,000 people from their homes. 235-mile-an-hour winds in that cyclone. Then on May 20th, 2013, in Moore, Oklahoma, we had tornadoes with 210 miles per hour. Do you remember the polar vortex in 2014 when we had massive traffic jams in Atlanta? People were stuck in their cars for 14 hours with no food and no water. The emergency was in six or seven states. There were 4,400 flights canceled. The ice was so thick on the Great Lakes that the icebreakers couldn't even get through. They had to close Fort Bragg and other places. And, we've got a real short memory, but the natural disasters are just spinning up out of control. And then if on top of that, you think about the fires we've had. And 2013, August 17th, the Rim Fire burned 402 square miles, threatened the National Park's sequoia trees. The Pony Complex Fire in Idaho burned 149,000 acres. It goes on and on, man. It just the Funny River Fire in Alaska, burned 193,000 acres. That's 302 square miles. Carlton Complex Fire in north central Washington State burned 390 square miles. That's four times the area of Seattle. Our Earth, our planet, is just in a series of reoccurring disasters. And that's another thing people aren't really aware of, awake about. Sorry, that was a bit of a rant and a bit off topic, but do you think about that stuff at all, Nate, Solaris, anybody?
I think what you kind of hit it on the, you know, we have a short-term memory, and that reminds me of the tidal wave in 2004 that hit down in the, what is it, the Indian Sea. I'm kind of blanking on the name right now of the area.
Me too. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, that's another one.
They've already started rebuilding that area. Like their memory is so short. No,
they're
going to
move right back in.
Because our lifespans are extremely short, and so we have this, I'll just rebuild. And why would you even build there? Build somewhere where it's safe, you know, or where it's the least possibility. And then not only that, is the way they build their houses, or the way houses are built, there's many, many, many joints. And I was reading in Still They Fly, they were talking about the houses that they build there on Era. And they said, well, we build our houses without joints, you know, and somewhat on a spring foundation, so it can move if needed. So, it's pretty logical.
Makes sense to me. I'm going to play a clip here where Putin is talking about some of this. You'll get the perspective from the Russians here.
World War IV type situation very quickly. Here's Vladimir Putin breaking it down.
This is not. This goes beyond the framework of the regular fight against terrorism. Certainly, military men are fighting terrorism, sacrificing their own lives. But today's loss is related with a stab in our back by the associates of terrorism.
That has been given to us in our back by the accomplices of terrorists.
I cannot find another wording to what happened today. Our plane was shot down over the Syrian territory. The air-to-air missile came from F-16 Turkish warplane. It fell on the territory of Syria, 4 kilometers away from the Turkish border. It was at an altitude of 6,000 meters, 1 kilometer away from the Turkish border when it was hit.
1 kilometer away from the border.
In any case, our pilots and our plane never threatened the Republic of Turkey in any way.
Anyway, to me, in my opinion, the shooting down of the Russian plane, the killing of the Russian pilots, and the destruction of the rescue helicopter is a clear and despicable active aggression. 314, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you. You're absolutely right. And
Nate, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just would like to say that I hopefully Russia is very pragmatic about this and has you know, but at the same time, if the leaders of Turkey, they need to come down hard on the people that are responsible for this. You know, I know soldiers oftentimes they just follow orders without questioning, but someone had to give them those orders.
Do you think that it was not the policy of the government of Turkey that did this? You think it was just the act of some rogue people inside their military or something like that?
Yeah, they may have ISIS sympathizers or anti-Russian or terrorist sympathizers or, you know, extremist sympathizers inside the Turkish government, but this needs to be found out and taken care of so that things like this don't happen again. Because, you know, ISIS is an extreme threat, you know, via the law of cause and effect. What, you know, if ISIS does take over, then we're screwed. Because their next stop would be France, and once France falls, they'll get access to all the France's weaponry and arsenal, and you know, hey, it's nice knowing you guys.
And don't the Billy Meyer prophecies say that France will fall or that Paris will fall?
Yeah, and I will say specifically named. A religious group working from within inside the country, as well as Spain, getting into a conflict with Spain.
Solaris.
Go
ahead, 314.
Do you think that Obama should voluntarily give back his Nobel Peace Prize, which was given probably after being in office 2 weeks? I mean, doesn't all this seem strange to you guys?
It's so weird. I can't even begin to wrap my mind around it. I give the creeps just thinking about how insane all this is. Solaris, what do you think?
Well, it's obvious to me that this has been strategically done. I mean, we talked about the Trojan horse insofar as America being sabotaged from the outside looking in, and now we have D.C. sabotaging America, and we all know who trained this group of terrorists out there. I mean, our people, CIA, covert intelligence, trained a lot of those people that are, you know, ISIS, that whole group. So literally, you have to look at the source of who created these monsters, right? Well, D.C. was responsible for that, and I hate to say it, but that's the fact. And we have had our fingers in a lot of bad things, and now Russia's fell in a rat. There's no doubt about it. So you see that there's a little polarization going on between what's going on with D.C. and what's going on with Putin. I applaud Putin. I've said it before. I mean, I know they're not perfect, but I'll tell you what, man, he's at least trying to clean this stuff up. So.
Well, it's interesting that Putin said that they had been stabbed in the back by the associates of terrorists. And I think Turkey could be injecting terrorists in Syria. I don't know for sure. However, I think I'll go ahead and play CNN's perspective on this whole Russian plane shoot down. Let me get this in.
Shot down on the Syria-Turkey border, or very close to it, on the Syrian side. These are the images. We've got amateur images, and we've got some breaking developments from Ivan Watson from the Turkish side. Ivan.
Yeah, Max, the Turkish military has now put out a statement saying that this happened at about 9:20 in the morning in Turkey, that there were repeated warnings to this Russian warplane, and then that two Turkish F-16s on patrol responded to the plane within the rules of engagement. They're saying again that there were 10 warnings to the other aircraft in a period of 5 minutes. And
okay, were there 10 warnings? I seriously doubt it. Let me move on here a little bit. I'm going to switch to General Wesley Clark, and who quite some time ago gave some very insightful information into this whole story. Let me start here.
About days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No, no." He says, we've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq. This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, we're going to war with Iraq. Why? He said, I don't know. He said, I guess they don't know what else to do. So I said, well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to al-Qaeda? He said, no, no. He says, there's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq. He said, I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments. And he said, I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, are we still going to war with Iraq? And he said, oh, it's worse than that. He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran. The truth is about the Middle East is, had there been no oil there, it would be like Africa. Nobody is threatening to intervene in Africa. The problem is the opposite. We keep asking for people to intervene and stop it. And there's no question that the presence of petroleum throughout the region has sparked great power involvement.
Okay, very, very interesting. Let's go over those countries again. This to me is one of the most insightful bits of information. General Wesley Clark, who was in charge, I think, at one time of all the NATO forces, said that he had seen a document, a top secret document in Washington, that said that we would go into Iraq, Syria, which I guess we're in the Syria phase now, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Iran. So I've heard people talk about this as the, what's it called, the project of the new American century, where I think the neocons had planned out all of these conquests ahead of time, which it looks like it's all playing out. Very, very strange. Any comments from my callers? Nate?
That they had a plan on the table. There was a PNAC Accord or something like that.
Right. 7 yeah. countries in 5 years.
I mean, these men are very little now. I think to myself, every time I think about W and his partners in crime, I think they should all be in prison. I mean, that's bottom line. And if imagine, you know, I just would refer back to, the play Orin, for example, in the Billy Meyer context. They've had 50,000 years of peace on their planet, and you know what always strikes me is their last war was a war between the politicians and the people, basically. And when the people allied themselves with the teachings of the spirit or the spiritual leaders and did what was responsible, you know, no prestige or status could protect someone from doing something wrong anymore. Everybody had to be held 100% accountable for what they did, and you know, a politician thinks they don't have to be held accountable. Politicians think they're above the law. They think there are multiple laws. There's laws for them and laws for everybody else. And this mindset needs to go away. That you know, so that's up to us.
In the 442nd contact, which occurred Saturday, February 10th, 2007, Billy said, that also applies to my side, but tell me what you have to say about this. Today I have heard in the news that the Russian President Putin at the Munich Security Conference has energetically spoken his mind regarding the politics of the USA. Putin said that the USA is striving for world rule, respectively world power, and thereby also promotes the resuming of the arms race and interferes in the trade of foreign countries and practices warlike actions. Patel says, this is actually something extraordinary that I saw just 2 days ago through a look into the future. Very interesting. These people can supposedly look into the future. Therefore, you and our explanatory efforts in regard to the USA's real machinations and plans to world rule bear the first fruit, which Russian President Putin has now brought to ripeness, in that he named the actual and reprehensible facts which rage in U.S. politics. But that doesn't come from an estimation, because the facts named by you and by us in your bulletins cannot be overlooked. Consequently, they are also studied in Russia, whereby finally President Putin's public speech resulted. And we talked about that yesterday, Nate, that these contact notes are read in Russia, which is amazing. However, the fact is that the USA, with the foreign policies it operates, and with the criminal military war actions and Secret Service actions, makes the world situation ever more unsafe and forces other countries to arm themselves. And this is something that I really kind of go along with. What we're doing makes the world very unsafe. And I think the president should have got up and said, this act by Turkey is despicable. We renounce it. It was a horrible thing to do. It was unprovoked and pointless. But that's not what he said. He got up and said something very strange. He said, Turkey has the right to defend itself. Defend itself? In what way was Turkey threatened by any of this? Anyway, very, very strange situation that we have going on. I have another very strange and bizarre clip I want to play about a journalist that was recently killed. And let me go ahead and just set this up, and then we'll
talk
about...
Before you play that clip...
Go ahead.
Let me throw something else in there.
Sure.
And you're absolutely right. It was very uncanny, but clever of Obama to mention what you said so soon, and under no really provocation. But how about this? We still wonder who or what flew planes in the World Trade Centers. Can we also wonder who was flying or what was flying these F-16s?
Well, can you elaborate on that a little bit? You don't think it was Turkey pilots, or that's a good point.
Well, it's something to think about. Or do they have the capability of flying those remote control?
It's possible. I've also heard somebody say that they thought the Russian planes were probably shot down by surface-to-air missiles. I don't know. I have no idea. I just kind of...
And you also, you know, you make mention, how far would military command go in this sort of provocation? You know, there's... if everything goes all out, there's no winners in this at all.
Oh, no. Nobody... Nobody.
Look at the bomb that was placed on the Russian passenger jet. That had to be something going on with Aegis military. I mean, Aegis military controlled those airports. And it's basically, well, it was reported that the wands that they was using to check passengers for bombs or, you know, items weren't even working. What do you do, walk out of the desert with a suitcase and walk right up the ramp into the hull of a plane and place a bomb like that?
Well, that's a good question. No one ever talked about how the bomb got there. That's a very good point. I never even really thought about it, but it's a very, very important point that you bring up. How did that bomb get on board that Russian plane? And why are we provoking Russia? It just, I say we, but... It sounds like more than one country provoking Russia. What a strange thing to do. Take a stick and poke a bear? Doesn't make sense to me. Okay, I'm going to play this clip. It's about an American journalist murdered here recently for exposing ties to ISIS. Give me a second to readjust here.
Okay. This is Gradowski of WeAreChange.org here in Lima, Peru, and I wanted to bring your attention to a very important, underreported story that the White House is being extremely silent on. It's the story about an American journalist who was disappeared and murdered in Turkey on October 19, 2014. Her name was Serena Shim. She was an American journalist working for Press TV inside of Turkey, and she uncovered how United Nations World Food Program trucks were being used by ISIS to send in and import weapons and other supplies to the Syrian rebels. The story had huge repercussions for the U.S. ally, Turkey. Right after her reporting, Serena talked about death threats and threats from Turkish intelligence she got right after her report. Turkish intelligence, days before she died, accused her of being a spy, questioned her contacts and friends, and said that she would be arrested on site when they found her. On October 19, 2014, Serena was driving on a one-way, three-lane highway with a medium. A cement truck hit her car head-on. The Turkish government says that this was an accident and has not provided any evidence or photos of the actual incident, and they have actually been changing their stories of what actually happened to Serena. After the accident, it was reported that Serena and another driver were alive. The other driver was taken to a hospital while Serena was taken to an undisclosed location where 30 minutes later she was found in a hospital dead from heart failure. The family went to Turkey to get answers from the Turkish government, and they have not gotten any assistance or help from that government. The United States government, when questioned about Serena Shim, said that they do not investigate deaths of Americans in other countries, even though they have done so in the past. The Turkish government, for some reason, posted her passport online after her death. The family does not believe her death was an accident in any way, shape, or form. The mainstream media inside the United States has been completely silent. The White House has been completely silent. The government is giving no answers and will not investigate the death of this American brave journalist who is investigating and exposing the very fact that our ally is helping, aiding, and supporting ISIS. The family and other people who knew Serena took online and actually have started a petition on change.org, so the United States has to officially investigate the death of Serena Shim. Google and Twitter, according to many people, are censoring the hashtag Serena Shim. And obviously, from all the reports that we have done throughout 2 years almost now, the United States and its allies have been supporting the rise of not only extremist Islamists in Syria, but they have been directly funding, supporting, and training them to get rid of Bashar al-Assad. It is.
Yeah, we are in Syria. I find this kind of story very disturbing. It really disturbs me how low we've sunk and how corrupt we've become. Solaris, have you heard about this? I just heard about this today.
You know, I haven't heard anything about it, but it is. There's just so much negativity. It's unbelievable. Everything's escalated. I didn't hear that, though, until you played it.
It's morbid. It's just so morbid. Nate, any comments?
Just furthering on the whole idea, what's going to happen to America if she keeps this up. And I'd like to know, I'd like to just remind that, you know, our government is not America. You know, it's the people that live in this region that are America, and we really need to, you know, wake up out of our stupor and our, you know, and then how do we do that? But let me just read a little bit more of the Henoch prophecies that it talks about America here. Finally, many Asian, African, and European states will rise up against the American hegemony once they recognize that the United States of America is only taking advantage of them for the purpose of war, conquest, and exploitation. In this way, many countries will become puppet states of America before the realization will emerge in the responsible ones of governments and in many of the population, resulting in the turning away from the U.S. So, you know, the European Union is a dictatorship. Merkel, Germany, she's an American puppet. Turkey and a lot of these regimes in the Mideast, they're, the people put in power have been put in power by the U.S. And a lot of this has already come to light, so I'm not telling anything new, but
I mean, who's going to go for power but criminals, you know? They just very criminal mindset people, sociopaths will do anything, right? And that's what we got here. And so it was stated by Putin that, you know, they had contacted the U.S. and let the U.S. know that this plane was coming through, and, you know, to leave it alone, basically. They were trying to coordinate, and Putin was suggesting that U.S. was responsible for the calling out or the relaying of the message to Turkey, and then the plane was shot down. So he said, instead of making excuses, you know, we should do a thorough investigation of the situation and taking steps to make sure such things never happen again.
314, any comment?
Well, Putin is being very level-headed with these course of events. As I said before, he deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. But here's another point we need to think about. According to Wesley Clark, who was privileged to that meeting, I believe just before 9/11, and the gentleman he was talking to said the day. Now, these course of decisions are spanning several presidents.
Yeah.
So who is this day? Is this day that's causing this calamity around the world? It's this day that needs to be brought to justice, tried, and dealt with in an appropriate manner.
Is they the same group that killed Kennedy, you think?
Well, I don't know. I really don't, because it's just like any other investigation. You always come to these. It's like trying to figure out whatever happened to Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point.
I would say it isn't they, it's the mentality by which they operate, right? And that mentality still exists, and that mentality is still prevalent. And that's what needs to change.
It's becoming so obvious, though. That's what's spooky here. It's becoming so clearly wrong what we're doing and what we're allowing to have happen. I'm feeling almost like I'm in some kind of movie, you know, when you're watching a movie and you're thinking, wow, you know, something really bad is going to happen soon. Do you get that feeling, Solaris?
Sorry, I was muted there. Yeah, you know, I'm just so calibrated to all their drama that it's obvious to me there's this. Well, I've called it the black umbrella. I've called it this for years now. It's just this array system that's really driven by covert technology and a lot of these, what I would say, alphabet agencies fused in with the United Nations and other areas. And you can call them cabals, but I think they're all interconnected. And it's just out of control. There's just about oppression, control, manipulation. It seems to me like there's an escalation of negativity, harm, evil. You know, if it's bad, it seems to be acceptable. And people who are fighting the good fight seem to get attacks more and more. So that's what I'm seeing anyway. So I think we're in for a big ride. I really do.
Okay, next clip.
Well, you know,
go ahead.
Another point real quick. This has spanned several careers and generations. I mean, if we can name the people in the Pentagon, the Joint Chiefs of Staff who have came and gone. So are we saying that they're learning this in the universities and the colleges that they're coming from? Or is there still some central focus there that's pushing everyone that comes through to continue on this path? So it has to be some central individuals that's pushing this. I can't see that the last graduating class and the next graduation class to come and the one after that is going to continue to take this demonic course.
Well, we've got the Bush family, all the way back to Prescott Bush in World War II, financing the Nazis. We've got the Clinton dynasty that's working with them as well. And then I wonder, you know, some of these very, very rich families where this old money has been around for ages and ages, like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, I think this this group, it really does span multiple generations. There's a tremendously good movie out on YouTube that talks about this, and it's actually pretty complicated when you start studying this whole thing, the New World Order and how it all works. I think you can trace it back to the E.H. Harriman, who was the director of the Union Pacific Railroad. He had a monopoly, and then he worked with the Rockefeller oil monopoly, and they basically took over the petroleum industry, the railroad industry, and these two monopolies, they were worth more than a lot of countries. And then these very, very wealthy, powerful people started to put front men up, like the Rothschild family put up J.P. Morgan. He only owned about 17% of the J.P. Morgan bank. One of the things I think that these families were afraid of is what happened in the Russian Revolution, where the Russians, the Lenin, the Trotskys, they terrified the global elite. They wiped out the Russian czars, and I think the global elite were afraid that people around the world would start, you know, doing the same thing. So that's why I think that people like Alan Dulles and these rich elite people they needed someone, i.e. Hitler, to go into Russia. And I always thought it was strange in World War II that Hitler would go after Russia. But I think that was part of the whole plan from the beginning. So, I mean, that was suicidal going into Russia in the winter in World War II. But that's, in fact, what happened. But, yeah, it is very spooky what's going on right now. There is no question. It's so blatantly evil. It's so blatantly wrong. Any comments? I'm going to go on to the next
one. I just wanted to say one real quick. The military-industrial complex is behind a lot of this, and obviously the Vatican. So those are two things that you need to also incorporate. They've been the controllers for a long time. I mean, it is true. I mean, there is a legacy involved with some of the it's just not about generations, but there's a bloodline involved, too. I mean, you talked about the Bushes, the Clintons. These are people that have been squatting in D.C. for how many decades now? I mean, exactly. It's just it's pathetic. I mean, and then you have all this other stuff that's going on with all these other families that are interconnected, as you were mentioning. But yeah, let us not forget the Vatican, who have been subliminally controlling on so many different levels. It's not even funny.
Nate, you got anything to say about the Vatican, Nate?
No, I was kind of going to say, who's the other caller? What's his name? What's your name? My name's Nate, by the way.
Well, my name.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
you can,
my name is Pianki, P-I-A-N-K-I, here in St. Louis.
Okay, Pianki. Regarding what Pianki was saying about bloodline and how there has to be people at the top or something like this, I think in a sense there is, but I think that we're talking about environment versus individuals. And like when someone graduates from college or something like this, they enter into a workplace that has these already preset conditions and, risk-reward type of mentality, like, oh, listen, I'm not getting ahead because I'm honest, but this guy over here, he's just a scumbag and he's getting ahead big time. So, you got that, plus you got the adage of, over crazy student loans. So, you're going to keep a job and you're not going to say anything against ethics or moral or that is morally or ethically incorrect done by your company because, hey, you got those student loans. There's all kinds of ways that we're being entrapped and enslaved and brought into that mentality and destructiveness. And also, the sins of the father have nothing to do with their offspring. I'm pretty much nothing like my mom or my dad because they were jerks. I do have some attributes of them, but each individual down the line can ultimately choose. But if the environment is very toxic and poisoning, it's very hard for that individual to come through as individuals and not as, brainwashed automatons.
Well, you know, you mentioned one name there, Rockefeller. And if you go back around the turn of the last century, well, really, you don't have to go back that far. You know, when the Defense Act came into being during the defenses, the highway, the National Highway Act, National Interstate and Defense Highways Act of 1956. You know, during that time, it was only 1 in 10 Americans that was had automobiles. Most people took rail. And, you know, in your cities, you had the electric rail. But Rockefeller and Albert Sloan, who was part of General Motors, they worked very hard to change that. Rockefeller with Standard Oil, and of course, Albert Sloan with General Motors. So, you know, there is a correlation that's going on there. When generals come out of the service, they go to the Pentagon. When they come out of the Pentagon, they go to work and sit on somebody's corporate board.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there lies the trail that we need to be investigating.
It's a very complicated trail. I don't have all the answers. Nate, go ahead.
The revolving door, and if I'm not mistaken, the laws also need to catch up with that. They have these anti-monopoly laws, and when the GM came in and they ripped up all these railways and stuff because they saw that as their only competition to their automobiles. You know, I think Ralph Nader took them to court and he won, but it was like $10,000 or it was a ridiculous fine they would have to pay. And that, like, not only should you have to pay, you should also have to repair the damages that you did, you know, or that should be your payment. But that's not what happened. Our laws need to catch up to, you know, a progressive mentality on that front.
It's a very complicated world situation. It's spinning out of control in more ways than one. I have an interesting clip here that talks about the Russians. In their very effective bombing campaign, they've destroyed most of ISIS's ammunition and most of their heavy vehicles. What in a matter of a month or so, and we couldn't do that in years, probably because we didn't really want to. Let me pull this clip up.
Hello again, welcome back. Now, Russian jets have carried out dozens more airstrikes today against Islamic State positions in Syria. Military officials say most of the terrorist supplies and equipment have been destroyed. RT's Lizzie Phelan has the details.
We've seen an intense escalation of the Russian fight against the Islamic State in Syria over the last 24 hours. Now, according to the Russian Defense Ministry, Islamic State militants have lost most of their ammunition, heavy vehicles, and equipment as a result of the Russian airstrikes. And through intercepting the communications of Islamic State militants, they can hear those militants panicking because of a shortage of ammunition that they're discussing that they're facing, causing several commanders to consider withdrawing from the battlefield. And earlier today, we saw hundreds of Syrian civilians from various political parties and youth organizations come out onto the streets outside the Russian embassy in Damascus to demonstrate their support for Russia's involvement in the fight against the Islamic State. Now, that demonstration was brutally cut short after it came under mortar fire. Two shells landed inside the compound of the embassy. Several others landed nearby the demonstration. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, but had those mortars actually reached the gathering, they had the potential to cause a huge loss of civilian life. Let's take a listen to journalist Ala Ibrahim, who was there on the ground earlier this morning.
These people behind me are merely 50 people who were left out of a much bigger demonstration that took place in Damascus today in front of the Russian embassy here in Damascus. Over 1,500 people gathered this morning to show solidarity with the Russian government and the Russian Air Force that has been supporting the Syrian army in its operations against terrorists and rebels in various parts of the country. Also, they're cheering behind me that no mortars can stop them from gathering here in reference to the two mortar shells that were fired by rebels from the nearby Jobar district on this area to disperse the demonstration. The security forces has ordered the demonstrators to disperse like 10 minutes ago, and people are starting to leave right now. Out of the original 1,500, less than 50 people are still here who refuse to leave and they want to stay here.
Wow. Can you imagine 1,500 people demonstrating in favor of what the Russians have done, and then they fire mortar shells on them to break up the demonstrators? what a strange situation we have going on in the world right now. The next clip I have here is going to talk about the ISIS-Toyota connection.
Alex Jones here for InfoWars.com to break down and reveal the mystery behind why ISIS has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, perhaps more than 1,000 late model armored militarized Toyota trucks, mainly from the United States. Now, we reported on this in 2014. I'm going to show you some of the articles. The mystery is solved, and it's been solved since the beginning, but it's hiding in plain view. And if folks can understand this simplistic report that's factually based, you can understand everything. The globalists hide everything in plain view like we're idiots. Al-Nusra, for 4+ years, has been funded by NATO, the United States, Turkey, and many others. It is Al-Qaeda in Syria. That's in Reuters. That's in Associated Press. They admit that's who the Russians are now targeting. That is Al-Qaeda. ISIS is another Wahhabist spinoff of that, creating Islamic State in an area between Syria and Iraq. So that's a separate new part of the caliphate. The takeover of Syria and the area around Damascus that's going to be left to Syria is being done by Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra. The U.S., quote, gives the armored vehicles, the missiles, the weapons that Saudi Arabia gives them and others give them to Al-Nusra, who are the good rebels, Al-Qaeda, and then they give them to ISIS. And that's even come out in Congress. But the mainstream media just keeps acting like this isn't a fact. The head of Defense Intelligence went public a couple of months ago. We played the clip here. They've had the deputy head of the CIA go public because they're all covering their butts. They're either covering their butts or they're signaling to everyone that treason has been committed and something needs to be done.
I think that's the key word there. Treason has been committed and something needs to be done. Tianca, I think you brought something up earlier about the Toyota trucks of ISIS. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, you know, you used to listen here John McCain many times talk about giving non-lethal aid to moderate rebels. Well, is this what he was talking about?
It very well could be. Insane McCain. Nate, do you have any comments?
I was just thinking the same thing, that perhaps there, you know, without pointing any fingers, there could be lots of reasons why they have gotten hold of these type of trucks or vehicles. And, you know, the question you would ask yourself is now is, after we recognize ISIS as an enemy, are we still supplying them with trucks? Not beforehand, you know?
Oh, I think we're supplying them still. I think it's real obvious when you see a couple hundred trucks that are exactly the same color and exactly the same model that they're getting volume discounts. It's pretty scary, actually. It's so obvious. Solaris, any comments?
No, I agree with you on that one. And also, you have to remember that these guys are raking in a lot of money with oil. So this group, so they have a lot of money to burn in the illusion of. But, yeah, it's pretty disturbing when you look at it. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, well, the whole oil thing is something I wasn't that aware of. There are ISIS actually is in control of a lot of these oil fields, from what I hear now, and they're selling oil. Do you know anything about that, Tianca?
I think they sell oil to Turkey. You know, it's funny, but it's a shame. But yeah, let's look at this oil. Let's look at the oil. Aren't these prices really crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Just about the time when United States, when you had Americans, was getting involved in an industry, whether it was profitable with fracking in the oil industry, all of a sudden the bottom falls out of the world OPEC prices, whereas we can no longer here in the U.S. engage in that process. Isn't that suspicious?
Is, fracking. That's a whole other topic. You bring up fracking. Fracking has
but
pretty
let's
much
just say that let's just say that the U.S. became a net exporter of oil, and then who should this? Whose control is Saudi Arabia increasing its production? We got Saudi Arabia being a major player in wanting to see northern Syria become colonized. Israel wanting to see northern Syria become colonized.
Well, what is the civil war in Syria really all about? Is it religion? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think Al-Assad is just one of those dynastic families, like we've seen in Libya, like we see in so many places in societies over there. So I don't think it's religion, other than, you know, the what we've been hearing and experienced from time immemorial. Wasn't Assad duly elected a few years ago?
Well, you know, the other question is Assad the U.S.'s puppet? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. Nate, any comments?
I think at certain levels, to a lot of people who are engaged in a conflict, it's about it has religious overtones and you know, and is powered by religion at certain levels. I think, you know, the U.S. wants to control certain areas and stuff, so they try to use one group against another, and oftentimes they it seems like they end up, whatever group they end up empowering treats the people in that area very poorly. So,
you know, Solaris brought up something about the Vatican, which really piqued my interest. And I do think that the Vatican has a whole lot more going on here than we realize. And you brought up something yesterday, Solaris, about the mandatory vaccines, which was pretty scary.
Right. Yeah, they're trying to pass that through again, and it just seems like every time we turn around, they're trying to pull something. You know, Congress is trying to pass something behind the scenes after people get distracted, and I think people need to pay attention to that as well.
One of the things I think that I want to bring up, and looks like we'll probably talk about it next time, is they're proposing this mandatory RFID chip implant. And I've heard people speak out against this, Ron Paul, as well as others. And the Meyer Information talks about this chip as well. And boy, this is another thing that is very disturbing. In any case, folks, I want to I appreciate Tianca, I appreciate Nate, I appreciate Solaris, all you guys for coming on the show. I'm going to try to keep these shows to about an hour. I'm going to try to do this again tomorrow at about 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Maybe if enough people get together and talk about this stuff, we can start to figure out what we need to do to satisfy and fix this whole situation. All right, folks, have a good day. This is Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Talk to you later.